The next kinnig that we're going to say, kinnig mem alef, is very unique. Throughout all of the kinnos that we've been saying this morning, most, if not all, have been written through experiences. Rav Elazar Kalir wrote most of the kinnos that we've been saying. But kinnig mem alef was written by the Meiram Rotenberg, who was a first-hand witness of the events that are described inside of the kinna. And what makes it unique is that, again, it is something which is written by that first-hand experience. And inside of every word and inside every paragraph is that first-hand pain and experience of seeing what happened. Additionally, kinnig mem alef departs a little bit from the theme that we find throughout the kinnos, be it the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the pain and the suffering and the bloodshed that we've heard about so much this morning from Klal Yisrael, the destruction of communities. Kinnig mem alef, Sha'alei Srufa Be'esh, speaks about a terrible event that happened in the year 1242, when 24 cartloads, wagons full of Gemaras and other manuscripts, which were handwritten at the time, hundreds of years before the printing press, were taken out and destroyed in Paris, France. And the question could be asked, how that fits into the destruction, the Churban, and all of the suffering and pain that we've been describing and feeling and speaking about this morning. Simply put, we know that Tisha B'Av is a time that we recall, remember, and relive the tragedy that happened to Klal Yisrael. We know that the very first time that Klal Yisrael cried on Leil Tisha B'Av was when the Meraglim returned with the report in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's quoted in the Gemara in Tainus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyish al-chinam, v'ani kovei alechem b'chi al-doros. Klal Yisrael, listening to the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, not believing that they could go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem goes there, that the day of Tisha B'Av would be a time of b'chiya, and any tsar, and any pain and suffering that will happen to, and have happened to Klal Yisrael, it is Tisha B'Av, which is a time that we recall it and we bring that to the forefront of our minds and to our hearts. So losing 24 cartloads of Gemaras and Svarim that were handwritten that could never be replaced is certainly a tragedy, which would make sense to be thinking about now on Tisha B'Av. But I'd like to suggest two additional answers to explain the meaning of this particular kapitel, this kinna that we're saying about the destruction of all of the Torah that was lost. We find on Daf Nun Heim and Beis in the Gemara and Gittin, which begins the discussion of the Gemaras of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. On the bottom of the Amid, it says the following: Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ma Dichsiv Ashrei Adam Mefachi Tamid Umakshel Libo Yipol Bara. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk in Mishle that fortunate is a person who's Mefachi Tamid, literally translated as someone who's always worried, Umakshel Libo Yipol Bara, someone who hardens his heart will fall into evil? Rashi points out on the words Mefachi Tamid that it is a person who is Doyeg Lirois Hanolat, a person who is worried about the Roes Hanolat, what is going to happen, that Shelo Ira Takala Bekach Im Es Azos, that there shouldn't be something negative that happens because of doing a certain action. Someone Roes Hanolat is what Shlomo Melech and Mishlei is saying, is someone who is a fortunate person, someone who takes thoughtful action before doing something. And then says that there are three gemaras, there are three stories when this advice of Shlomo Melech was not followed, which is why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The most famous of which is the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. We all know the story. Bar Kamsa got mistakenly invited to a seuda, of which when the Baal HaBos found him at his seuda, Bar Kamsa was willing to pay an exorbitant sum just to stay and not be embarrassed and get thrown out. And in front of the Talmidei Chachamim who were there, the Baal HaBos throws out Bar Kamsa, who then, in an act of revenge, brings a animal to the Roman Caesar and says that if you were to bring this animal to the Beis HaMikdash, they would not sacrifice it. He was Malshin. He spoke evil and bad about Klal Yisrael in a very, very destructive way, which eventually brought about the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And when you look at the story, we know that Bar Kamsa certainly was not someone who was Roes HaNolad. He was not thinking about what he was doing. Yes, he was angry. He had sinas chinam towards the Baal HaBos. Maybe the Talmidei Chachamim were there. But I don't believe that Bar Kamsa was thinking that he wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and cause Klal Yisrael to go into galus. The Chachamim too, upon seeing the way that the Baal HaBos was treating Bar Kamsa, certainly they were not being roes and lolad and thinking about what was going to happen if they just stand by quietly and don't take some sort of an action to stand up for Bar Kamsa, try to figure out a way of ending that machlokas in a way that there would be shalom. And again, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was sinas chinam, which was coupled with the lack of recognition of what would happen in a person's actions. And to a certain degree, I believe that the historical events that happened in 1242, when the 24 wagons of the Gemara were destroyed, is a repeat of the exact same story that brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a Jew by the name of Nicholas Donin, who was an apikores. He was excommunicated from the Jewish people. And in 1238, after converting to Christianity, he went to Rome and he presented in front of Pope Gregory IX an accusation that the Gemara had many negative things to say about Christianity. It did not take long for this Jew to show the Pope the areas of the Gemara that were in question. And the Pope wrote an edict throughout all of the Christian world that every form of Gemara should be collected and destroyed, that there should be no Gemaras left at all. They should be taken out and burned. B'chaste Hashem, the edict was ignored throughout the entire Christian world except for in France. It was King Louis IX who put the Talmud on trial in the year 1240 in the famous Disputation of Paris, where four Talmidei Chachamim, great Baalei Tosfos in and of themselves, Vichil of Paris was the chief among them, the Rebbe of the Meiramei Rotenburg, the author of our Kina, went to try and defend the Gemara, but obviously the decision was already predetermined, and in the year 1240 the decision was that the Gemaras would be destroyed, and 2 years later those 24 cartloads of Gemaras were burned in the streets of Paris. It's not a very far stretch to say that Nicholas Donin was no different than Bar Kamsa, not realizing the degree of his actions, not thinking forward that, yes, he might have hated Hashem, he might have become an apikores, he might have joined Christianity, but had he been successful and had the Pope's edict worked, there would be no Torah left in the world. Something that Rabbi Fried was speaking a little bit about earlier today. But to take things one step further, Rav Hillel of Verona, and this is brought down in the Art School Kinnis, he commented that the destruction of the Gemaras may very likely be the punishment for another event of destruction and burning of books, which happened a few years earlier, and even a few short days before this destruction in 1242. We know that at the time that the Rambam had written his Svarim, the Mora Nevuchim, in the Yad HaChazaka, there were many people who thought that the ideas of the Rambam, they were not in concert with true Torah, authentic Yiddishkeit. And they brought this up to one of the priests at the time, and the books of the Rambam prior to 1242 had been burnt in one area in France, and then less than 40 days before the destruction of all these Talmidei, all these Gemaras, there was another burning of the Rambam Svarim. And Hillel said that the exact spot that the Rambams were burnt in Paris was the same place where all those wagons of Gemaras were destroyed and burned. That he said the ashes of the Rambams were together with the ashes of the Gemaras. The comparison between the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, not realizing and seeing what could possibly happen if we're going to think and say badly about each other, the destruction that it could bring about, it's so very, very clear. So perhaps when we're saying this kinna this morning, and we can think about the destruction of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash and these 24 cartloads of Gemara, the story is the same. And if we do not learn from history, if we do not see what can happen with Sidas Chinam, and not thinking through what our actions could bring about, destruction will be in its wake. But if you take it one step deeper, the Gemara Megillah tells us in Daf Gimel Amud Beis that Gadol Talmud Torah Me'akrabos Tamidin. We know that learning Torah Barabim, which is something Rabbi Fried mentioned earlier, it's even greater than bringing Karbanos, than the Beis HaMikdash itself. In fact, in this Sharm quotes a Medrash in Eicha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai Oisi Ozvu, B'Sarasi Shemaru, that Halavai Klai Yisrael should leave me, and they should just keep my Torah. Sham Or Shebo Machzirin Lemutav, because it's the light that is within the Torah that will bring Klai Yisrael back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Losing priceless Gemaras with Chidushei Tosvos, which we will have never seen, that is a Chorban to the level that can even rival the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. French Jewry died in 1242 when those Gemaras were destroyed. It was a few short years later that the expulsion of the Jews happened in 1306. Without Torah, we are lost. No greater Chorban can exist for us in Klal Yisrael, especially when we are in Galus, if we don't have the Torah. Al Eila, Ani Bochiah.